When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forget a contract extension for Brandon Ayuk. He is reportedly not expected to play for the 49ers in 2024, and a trade could happen soon. I'll discuss that and more next on The Grant Cohn Show. Well, things have gotten really weird in the Brandon Ayuk saga. A few days ago, it seemed like maybe they were going to come to an agreement on an extension. He dapped up the coach and the general manager, dapped him up in front of everyone. That was a consensual dap. And usually that means that 9 months later, a contract is going to be consummated. But that's not what happened after this consensual. What happened is that it seemed like that was all for show. And now the report, Matt Maiocco's reporting it. Originally, it was Cam Marino. Shout out to Cam Marino, who said that Brandon Ayuk is not expected to play for the Niners in 2024, that Cleveland and New England are the front runners to trade for him, and that Pittsburgh's still in the mix. Now, Maiocco comes out today and says, yeah, that's most likely what's going to happen. Not expected to play for the 49ers this year. Trade is looking like the most likely scenario. So Colin Cowherd, thank you for telling us to keep our eyes out and a new deal for Ayuk, and the night didn't happen. Thank you, Colin. That is why you're the best at what you do. So let's talk about what the Niners potentially could get for Brandon Ayuk, who again is not expected to play for the Niners this year. This is coming from Cam Marino and now Matt Maiocco as well. Don't take it from me. Now, Brock was here today. Brandon was here today and he washed his hands in the bathroom. That's a scoop. You want to talk about scoops? So let's talk about the first team, Cleveland. Apparently, Cleveland is willing to offer Brandon Ayuk more than $30 million a year and willing to offer the Niners something that they want. Matt Maiocco speculates that the offer coming from Cleveland would be Amari Cooper and picks. I suggested this trade in June. So I would like to chalk this up as a big win for quality control. Like, this would be a smart trade for the 49ers. You don't want to pay Brandon Ayuk big money long term. You're okay with having him one more year and then tagging him and trading him next year. So if you only got 1 year left with him, how about do 1 year with Amari Cooper, who's at least as good as Brandon Ayuk? He's faster than Brandon Ayuk. He might be better than Brandon Ayuk. I think this is an interesting trade, but it hasn't happened yet. Why? Seems like the Niners are okay with it. Cleveland's okay with it, but they have to get Ayuk to agree to an extension with Cleveland. And I'm guessing he doesn't want... I mean, what does Ayuk want? He doesn't want to play for Cleveland. It's like, you want to be paid $30-plus million a year. Okay, Cleveland will do that. You don't want to play there, though. So you want to play for Pittsburgh or Washington. That's what you want. Who do you think you are? You can't pick your team. You requested a trade. You're going to get traded to Cleveland. And they're not even bad. They have a quarterback who makes money. I mean, a little controversial, but they got a quarterback. They go to the playoffs last year? Joe Flacco? Did I hallucinate that? Not the worst team. They beat the Niners with PJ Walker. So, I don't know. This kind of feels like IU... all offseason crying, whining, I want out, I want out, I want more money. And Niners like, fine, we found it, here. And then Cleveland's calling Ayuk like, all right, we love you. Can we sign an extension? And Ayuk's like, not answering that phone call. So what's the alternative, Brandon? Stay on the Niners and play on the fifth-year option for $14 million? You'd rather do that than go get the extension you want in Cleveland. Is it fair to say that Brandon doesn't know what he wants? Why are you at the facility? Why are you using the restroom and all that stuff? Like, do you want to be here or not? Now, all of a sudden, you're cool staying here, taking what the Niners have offered you, being on the fifth-year option. This is a good trade for the Niners. It's a good trade for Cleveland. Brandon, what are you waiting for, man? Do you want to play football this year? For Cleveland, for the Niners, anywhere? Make up your mind. The ball is in your court now. You requested the trade. They found the trade. They found the money for you. It's not in the city you want. It's not with the quarterback. What? You really think Adam Peters and Washington is going to give the Niners what they want? Absolutely not. Not going to happen. I'm starting to look at Brandon kind of funny, man. Like, go to Cleveland. Go to Cleveland. This is exactly what you wanted. Quarterback who can make all the throws. Contract that reflects how good you are. And, you know, a warm city in a tourist capital. That's what you wanted. So you got it. I just don't understand why he's not on that team right now. Jat says the Padres cannot beat the Rockies. It's not coming to the 619. I'm tired of this Ike situation. Sorry, Jat. Tommy Huxley. In big games, Cooper disappears like a fart in the wind. What about Ayuk? El Jefe says, what's up with Trent Williams? Still not here. And I'm thinking that extension, let's talk about Trent Williams for a second, then we'll get back to Ayuk. So you saw what happened to Tyreek Hill. He got a renegotiated contract. He got the extension a couple of years ago from Miami, and it made him the highest paid wide receiver in the league, and he was technically getting $30 million a year, but everyone's like, it's not really $30 million a year because a lot of that is tacked on at the end and it's like, he's never going to get it. Well, now he's going to get it. All that's guaranteed now. Most of it's guaranteed now. And I would think that's what Trent Williams wants. Like, yeah, you gave me this extension a few years ago and it technically pays me this much annually, but I don't have any security left. I don't have any guaranteed money left. I need you to rework this the way you did for McCaffrey, the way the Dolphins did for Tyreek Hill. I'm a better player than both of them. Give me some security. I would think that's exactly what Trent Williams is doing. And I don't know, maybe once the Niners actually trade Brandon Ayuk, they can give him that. They can give Williams what he needs. I mean, it may not be the smart thing to do. It's not like you really want to tie yourself down to a 36-year-old left tackle long-term, but you have no options. So, good to get him on the field, back on the team this year if you want to win the Super Bowl. So that's probably where that's at. Trade Ayuk to a team and then handle Trent Williams after that. Jay Garza says BP threw 9 INTs 9 times. Bueller? Voodoo economics? Yeah, that's right. Okay, let's talk. Another team that could trade for Brandon Ayuk, the New England Patriots. Now, Cleveland is a good team with a good defense and a young quarterback who's dynamic, hasn't played well in a few years, but they got Nick Chubb. They got players there. New England might be the worst team in football. Quarterback is Jacoby Brissett or Drake May. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to name 5 players on the entire roster. They suck. In addition, they're in Foxborough, which you probably haven't been to Foxborough. You're thinking, oh yeah, that's like a suburb of Boston, right? Not really. It's in rural Massachusetts, and it's like an hour away from Boston, and I think it's actually closer to Providence, Rhode Island than Boston. So have a good time. That's like NFL boot camp. Hey, do you want to be as miserable as possible? Play for the Patriots. So Mayoko put this in his article. Again, if he goes to Cleveland, the idea is Amari Cooper and picks in return. Hell of a trade. If he goes to New England apparently offered the 34th pick in this year's draft and the Niners turned it down. So now the offer from New England is Kendrick Bourne and picks. According to Mayoko, Kendrick Bourne and pick. You remember Kendrick Bourne. He played for the Niners for the first few years of his career, and then he went and signed with the Patriots, and he's perfectly fine. He's okay. He's like Juwan Jennings, but not as good. But not bad. Maybe a little bit faster. Can play outside, not just in the slot. He's not nearly as good as Brandon Ayuk. He's not nearly as good as Amari Cooper. And if the Niners were to make that trade, Ayuk for Bourne and picks, you would not be happy. So that's why I don't think they can. Would they do that? Are they that upset with Brandon Ayuk that they would bring him back just because they like Kendrick Bourne? How about that? Let's talk about that for a second. Is it possible that the Niners are the ones that are like, you know what? We don't want you anymore. We don't want you anymore. Like, good luck somewhere else. Good luck to the next team that employs you because we're done. We had some misgivings about paying you all that money before the offseason, but over the last 3 months, you've only confirmed every one of our misgivings. Every week you've done it. So we're going to trade you to New England for Kendrick Bourne just because we know he gets along with the coach. He won't put himself ahead above the team. Doesn't this feel vindictive of the Niners? It's like, oh, you wanted to trade? You want to make us look bad? Sure, man. We'll take care of you. We're a player-friendly organization. Even to ungrateful little jerks like you. We'll take care. You want to trade? For sure, man. Cleveland or New England. Your pick. Where do you want to spend the next 4 years, Brandon? You tell us. Oh, Washington? We tried. We got Foxborough or Cleveland. Two of the nicer cities in America. No offense. Honestly, if I were the Niners and I felt like a player wasn't acting in good faith and was getting petty and stuff online, I would do the same thing, man. Oh, you want to go to Washington? Oh, okay. New England it is. You can be part of the rebuild over there, Brandon. You can really set the culture. You don't like our culture here, right? You don't like the way, get all the targets you want, be the leader, take a backseat to freaking no one. You would be the star on the team. That's what you want, right? I don't really want to sound like I'm coming down in favor of the Niners in this one. I feel like they've botched this too. They deserve criticism too. Like, it's gotten this messy. He's out there watching practice, every installation. And it's now looking like he most likely won't play for the team. Then why is he here? Tell him go home, Brandon. Thank you very much. You can go now. Start looking for places to live in Foxborough. What an awful ending to his documentary. And then I got traded to the Patriots and I was miserable and my career was not what I wanted it to be. The end. And then I had to live in Cleveland for 4 years and it was great. Do you think he did that thing with Dap, with the coach and the GM the other day because he needs footage for his documentary? If he does need footage for his documentary, it feels like we got one episode left. There's one scene left. And I wonder what that scene is going to be. Again, if you didn't see my instant analysis, I have it on good authority, phenomenal authority, that Brandon Ayuk was in the facility today, in the restroom. And yes, he washed his hands. So just a bizarre situation, man. Like, letting him use the soap? There's only so much soap. There's only so much water. He's not on the team. It's a waste of resources. Doesn't make any sense. I feel like he's going to have to pick Cleveland or New England. What is he waiting for? He'd be like, no, let's give it another week. Maybe Washington will make the deal I want. Maybe Jaden Daniels will convince Adam Peters to throw in someone. Like, unless Washington offers Terry McLaurin, they're not getting Brandon Ayuk. And it doesn't seem like Washington's going to offer Terry McLaurin. So you know what, Brandon? You got to pick. And the fact that he would rather go to Washington than Cleveland is like, Washington sucks. Not the city, but the team. Cleveland is better than Washington. So do you just want to play with Jaden Daniels? I don't understand, man. Trying to understand, Brandon Ayuk, you can't do it. Lost. So let's stop talking about it. It's been 14 minutes. That's enough of Brandon. Jody Moore says, hey, Grant, in your expert opinion, oh, it is expert, thank you. Based on what you have seen so far, are the Niners better or worse without BA, net gain or net loss? They're definitely worse without him. Now, if they could trade him for Amari Cooper, Terry McLaurin, Davante Adams, great. But if they trade him for Kendrick Bourne, huge net loss. Kendrick Bourne? I hope the Niners do that. Kyle, I dare you. I freaking dare you to trade Brandon Ayuk for Kendrick Bourne. You don't have the gall to do that. You don't have it. You're not that guy. J.R. Beckled, Amari will be a significant upgrade from Brandon. I tend to agree. I think Amari is one of the more underrated players in the league in this system. Getting the looks that Brandon gets, he would cook. Michael says, Bourne, hell no to that trade. Jalen Polk, if we trade him to New England, if Browns, for Judy. Both contracts are team-friendly. Judy. Yuck. That's how I feel about Jerry Judy. Senior Elver Galarraga says, Grant, did Javon Kinlaver apologize after he beret season for speaking the truth but had another terrible injury plague season? No. But he always left me alone after that. And again, I think I told people after the NFC Championship game win over the Lions, I walked up to him in the locker room, hadn't talked to him in 2 years, and said, hey, Javon. And he looked at me and I said, congratulations. And he nodded his head. That's the last time I'll ever see Javon Kinlaw, probably. He nodded his head right at me. It was a poignant moment. Seriously. Not to be sarcastic. It was kind of nice. In an unspoken kind of a way, you know? Two men who are both the strong, silent type. I mean, you got Javon Kinlaw, professional football player, 300-something pounds. Grant Cohn, you know? Tough in his own right. All right. So, Brandon Ayuk looking like he's not coming back. One of the best wide receivers in the league, top 10, maybe top 5. But, hey, Niners still have lots of weapons. Plus, they spent their first-round pick this year on a wide receiver who's a lot like Brandon Ayuk, Ricky Pearsall. You know, they're very similar players. They both got a little bit of wiggle to them. You know, they both got a little finesse. Neither one's a burner. Now, Pearsall is like Ayuk if he had like T-Rex arms and no muscle. But that's pretty similar. Like a short-armed, not strong version of Brandon. That's Ricky. So here's what physically you get an idea, but like I think what I like so much about Ricky is his mentality. Because, you know, like the best players in the league approach practice a certain way. You know what I'm saying? Like, your average player goes to practice and tries to do well, which, as we know, is a fool's errand. You know what I mean? Like, how do you improve if you're trying to do well? You can't. That you can't. That's what we've learned. You think that you're getting better because you're doing your best, but really, what you want to do is not your best. You want to make mistakes and play poorly because then you can learn. And what Pearsall's doing is a lot of learning. And it's just phenomenal. Like, every rep is a learning experience for him. And it's so great. And I feel like I wish more players would take it down a notch. Be less consistent. Be less effective for the sake of learning and growth. So I'll give you an example. Ricky Pearsall, what is he known for? Why is he on the team? Because he creates separation, right? He's just got that wiggle. You just can't. I'm like, oh, where'd he go? Oh, he's over there. No, he's over. Separates. Okay, lifts and separates. But in practice, he doesn't separate that much, which is, that's next level preparation. Like, why beat a guy in a route when you could just not beat him? And that's what he's doing. Now, he's winning sometimes because, like I said, tough guy. Competes. Hell of a hand-eye coordination type of guy. But when it comes to, like, getting open, He's trying to make it harder on himself by not getting open. That's what he's doing. So today he made a contested catch against Diamador Lenore. He could have smoked Diamador Lenore easily. Could have smoked him, but he didn't. He's saving that for the game. In practice, that's when you practice, you know, slow releases, kind of sluggish breaks. And if you can win that way, Hall of Fame. Canton. So that's what I'm seeing from Ricky Pearsall, man. A guy who's so ahead of the game, he's cruising in second gear. He's the Brock Purdy of wide receivers. You know, Brock Purdy throws picks on purpose just to get better. Ricky Pearsall lets DBs hang all over him on purpose so everyone can get better. Ricky gets better and Lenore gets better. More confident. Everyone feels better after it. That's what he's here. He's the confidence booster. No, really, with Pearsall, like, he doesn't show, like, no one's scared of his speed. No one seems scared of him. Why isn't he creating a lot of separation? To stop with the snark for a second. He's not strong. I feel like we saw this with Dante Pettis. He is a little like Dante Pettis. He's tougher, and I think he probably has better hand-eye coordination, but with Pettis, Pettis was a good route runner. Pettis had his kind of speed and agility, change of direction, all of it, but he had no strength. And so any DB could get his hands on Pettis early in the route and then just hang on him the entire way. And Pettis, like, it's not enough to just have a shoulder fake. You have to actually have some strength to be able to push a guy off you. They're not going to call holding every single play against you, Ricky, Dante. Like, maybe if you're Ayuk, you'll get that call, but you're not. You're going to go against starting corners with a lot more clout than you, and you're not going to get those calls. So the way Ayuk gets open is he has a combination of agility and strength. It's not just his footwork. It's also the fact that he's freaking jacked. Have you seen him? Have you seen his upper body? Jacked. Pearsall, not jacked. So he's going to be looking for calls. He's not going to get them unless he's a Pro Bowl wide receiver. That's what I'm seeing from Ricky. He's supposed to be a guy who creates separation, but he's not creating separation. So is he an outside receiver? Is he Ayuk, or is he more like a slot guy who can, you know, make contested 10-yard catches? That's what he's been doing in camp. It's contested 10-yard catches. Can he run a post route? Can he run a post corner? Can he run a fade? Like, those are things you'd see from Ayuk. I haven't seen that from Pearsall yet. He can run a nice little slant against off coverage. But once that corner gets his hands on him, it's like, it's the lack of separation is what you see. The lack thereof. Separation. Okay. Hopefully I wasn't too snarky about Ricky Pearsall. It's just, I think he's probably doing it on purpose because that's what I heard good players do. All right, let's talk sleeper picks, man. I hope you guys watched yesterday. I tried to explain. I'm trying to give $5 away the easy way. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, download it. Use promo code CONE, C-O-H-N. Make a $10 deposit, take a screenshot, DM me on Twitter, DMs are open, I'll send you $15. So right now, that's a $5 profit. If you lose, you just won $5. If you win, you'd win hundreds of dollars, hundreds, making picks on the number one pick app in the game. Sleeper picks, sleeper app. So here it is. I missed the WNBA. Do they still play that sport? Is it over? What happened? I was a huge fan for a month. We got baseball picks, though. Giants aren't playing tonight, so let's pick some players I've never heard of. No, I've heard of Paul Goldschmidt. Not Jewish, apparently. I know, right? I thought he would have been Jewish, but he's not. And that's okay, because you know what? Everyone's special. Let's see how many hits he's supposed to get. 1.5? Absolutely not. Maybe if you're Jewish, maybe if you had a bar mitzvah, but I don't think so. Nolan Arenado, great player. 33, so I've heard of him. If you're younger than 30 playing baseball, never heard of you. 33, for sure heard of you. Hits? Oh, Nolan? Knowing Nolan as I do, he's for sure getting that. This is how good I am at making picks. Cody Bellinger, 29, but I've heard of him because he used to play for the Dodgers, I think. Hits, 1.5? No. Strikeouts. I feel like Cody Bellinger is going to strike out tonight. I feel it. I feel it in the air. I can hear it in his voice. He's striking out. And then one more. Someone I've heard of. Nope. How about this guy? Nootbar. That's a name. Lars Nootbar. Is that a typo? Lars Nootbar. Okay. Hey. That's a perfectly good name. Hey, stop. Everyone stop making fun of his name right now. It's a perfectly good name. There's nothing wrong with the name Nootbar. Nothing wrong with it. He's a perfectly nice person with a family of Nootbars. Will he strike out today? Will he get a hit?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Nootbar. I feel like you got to get a hit today, Noot. I believe in Mr. Nootbar. Man, Mr. Goodbar, Mr. Nootbar. Oh, they just write themselves. Okay, here's what I'm doing. $10. I'm gonna flex it. So I'm because I'm not greedy. I just want to get a little action here to win potentially $25.20. Which, you know what? In this economy, I'll take it. I don't know what that means. I just entered my deposit. I want a lot of you guys hit me up on Twitter yesterday in the DMs with the screenshots asking for your $15 and I gave it to you. So I want to see, I'm trying to give away money because I'm insecure and I want people to like me. Thank you. Okay, let's keep it going. Purdy. Purdy had a great day of camp today. Or a terrible day, depending on how you look at practice. He didn't force any passes. He made good decisions. He took what the defense gave him. He didn't take lots of risks. So some people might think that's an awful practice, right? You're supposed to learn. Ricky Pearsall probably was like, Brock, dude, what were you doing? I'm over here not getting open. You're supposed to be like making mistakes too, man. You're making me look bad. So Brock just was 11 of 13 casually, no interceptions, no Debo, no McCaffrey, no problem. And so after practice, I want to know, like, what do you think, Brock? Was that a good day or a bad day? No, what I asked him was, when you throw interceptions in camp and you go and watch the interceptions on film, what is your process of assessing yourself? Like, are you looking at it and being like, yeah, that was a baller throw? Now, I won't make that throw in a game, but in practice, I love that throw because I blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, I mean, it pisses me off. I don't want to throw picks. But when I watch the film, I try to assess, why did the interception happen? Was it because I made a bad decision, or was it that I tried to give a guy a chance to make a 50-50 catch? Or that's the right answer. What he said on CanBR a few days ago was like, oh, you know, you're supposed to try stuff in practice. Yeah, you're supposed to practice how you play, and you're never supposed to, like, let yourself off the hook for throwing picks. So he finally said today, it pisses me off. I was like, good. Good. Because, look, you know who it didn't piss off? Jimmy. You know who probably was pissed when they threw picks in practice? Brady. Peyton. Steve Young. Now, it happens, but they don't walk off like, well, I was just trying something. Ha-ha. Like, that's what Jimmy would do. And then he'd make the same mistake over and over and over, and then he would play the way he practices, and now he's a backup, and he's never going to start again because life comes at you fast when you're not serious about your craft. And I would hate to think that Brock isn't serious about his craft, but you know what? He is. He is, which is why I always thought the narrative about the interceptions, like, they don't matter. Like, ask Kylan Brock. They do matter. He doesn't want to do this. He's not doing this on purpose. Yeah, he's trying things, but then he watches the film that night and it pisses him off and he's going to go the next day and try to do better. I'm not going to try to make that mistake again. And then it culminates in a really good quarterback having a really good day of practice today against a really good defense when he's missing all of his weapons. That's what you want to see from Brock, right? Like, that's growth. People are like, has Brock grown this year? Is his arm stronger? That's not going to be the growth. His arm getting stronger? No, he's 24. He needs to become an even better decision maker. And he needs to prove that he can do this stuff without just, like, people say he's a system quarterback, right? Well, he kind of is until he proves he's not. A system quarterback is a guy who, if you give him all pros at every skill position spot, a Hall of Fame left tackle, a great game plan, the best system, he'll do well. That's a system quarterback. And you can prove you're not one by, okay, let's take away some of the all pros. Let's do it in a practice where you're not game planning. Let's still have a bunch of great defensive players out there. Can you execute efficiently? The answer is hell yeah, he can, because he's really good. He's the real deal. Kyle said it first. I didn't believe it. He is the real deal. Is he worth $60 million a year? I don't know about that. I wouldn't say that. But days like today, in like an unironic, non-sarcastic way, make me feel like this guy is really good. Like, he has bad days in camp. He'll have the four-pick day. He'll watch the tape. He'll get pissed off. And he will learn and improve. You can't use the I'm just working on things and trying to learn excuse if you do it all the time. But he didn't do it today. So, makes a mistake, gets pissed off. You always hear, like, it's cool to make a mistake one time, right? But it's nice to be the kind of person who doesn't make the same mistake twice. You tried something. It didn't work out. You watched it on film. You know why it didn't work out. Don't make that mistake twice, even in practice. You could try something else and get a diagnostic on it, but like, be a quick learner. And from all accounts, everything we know about Brock, he's a quick learner. And why is he a quick learner? Why? Seriously, what makes Brock better than Jimmy? Why would Jimmy laugh it off, not take it seriously? I believe that Jimmy's more insecure than Brock to get into their minds. I think Jimmy's the kind of person who can't honestly look at himself in the mirror. A lot of people like that. A lot of people say that they're their toughest critics. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But maybe I think a lot of time those people are like the easiest. They will let themselves off the hook the easiest. Jimmy never really wanted to delve into who he was as a quarterback. Didn't seem like it. You ask him questions, I mean, he wouldn't ever criticize himself or hold himself accountable or say anything specific about how he could improve. Brock? Every time. Except for that one time on CanBR. But if you actually have like a real journalist asking him the question, he won't duck it. He'll take it head on and be like, yeah, I need to improve on that. It pisses me off. He's got the right mentality. He's going to be really good. He is really good. He's my favorite quarterback that I've covered. Because look at it this way. He knows who I am. He knows all the stuff I've said about him and how skeptical I've been and how snarky I've been. Jimmy knew. Jimmy didn't like me. I'm sure Brock doesn't like me. I don't like me. But Brock is still professional. And if I ask him a question, he gives me eye contact and gives a great answer. So not only do I like Brock, I really enjoy covering him. I really respect him as a young man who's 12 freaking years younger than me. Wow. Anyway, really respect him. Great answer. I'm going to cut up that Brock Purdy interview in a little bit, put it online because I thought it was some of his best stuff. Yeah, and some of my best stuff. I asked that question right off the bat. Brock, you had a great day. Let's not talk about it, though. You throw some interceptions sometimes that don't count. What are your thoughts? So now that puts to bed the debate on how to approach practice interceptions. We got Brock on the record, how he approaches it. And remember, why is Brock different than Jimmy? That is the question. Because there are differences. There's a lot of similarities too, if we're being honest. But what makes them different? Why is Brock the real deal when Jimmy was a fugazi? Jimmy was a fugazi. Brock is not a fugazi. I don't think. No, I'm pretty sure. This stuff. Do you remember how Jimmy would smile after interceptions? Was that not the most infuriating thing? Like, dude, care. care. Please. The Jimmy Garoppolo 30 for 30 will be something else. He was supposed to be the heir apparent to Brady. Now he's backing up Stafford. Whew. Yikes. Large Churro says, who's your favorite Bay Area rapper? I really like Ezale from Oakland. He puts out like 3 songs a year. I'm really liking LaRussell right now. Came out with that EP with P-Lo, produced by P-Lo. That's like great all the way through. I like P-Lo. I like Seiji Oda. You'll know about him. All the Asian rappers are my favorite. I'm a big fan of Asian rappers from the Bay, for sure. The Bay has the best Asian rappers, by the way. We have a lot of things. Asian rappers, good ones, high on the list. But also, like, LaRussell is a lot. I like him a lot from Vallejo. Brother Bob, Ig, can we trade Kyle Levy back to Cleveland instead? They got the coach of the year over there. I think they're good. Brother Bob says, LOL, do the ha-ha again, Fernando. Wait, INTs equal no good? I don't know. Brock said he didn't like doing the INTs. Can I say one more thing about Brock? And then I'm done. He got some weird questions today about his endorsements. He got some weird questions today, man. And so he could have just not answered, but he started talking about like his endorsements, and he was like, I really like to pick sponsors that align with my values. And I wanted to ask, but then I didn't want to ask a question about his sponsors, but my follow-up would have been like, okay, like, how does corn align with your values? Like, what? That's just a food that everyone eats. I don't know, like, what kind of value does that project? I'm pro-corn. I'm anti-corn. Hey, corn wants you to be the face of their product. Corn? Absolutely not. It's like being the face of milk or diapers or like something really innocuous that everyone has. I don't know. Corn. It's, you know exactly what it is. It's good if you know how to cook it. Corn, it's everywhere. I don't know. It just seems like he could never have like a cool sponsorship, like Nike or something like that. It would have to be JCPenney, Kohl's, Kmart. He could be the face of Legos. We need to figure out like more really. I think a good bit for Brock Purdy when he eventually hosts Saturday Night Live is just like between every sketch, they do another commercial where he's promoting something really lame, like the lamest. I would do that. That would be funny. Brock, go. And what's going to be nice about Brock hosting Saturday Night Live is that George was going to wish he could do it first, but they're never going to invite George on the show because he's not funny. Sorry, George, you're a lot of things, but you're just not funny. And you want to be. I'm sure George definitely thinks he's hosting Saturday Night Live one day, but he's not. Brock is. What is he going to be? I want some suggestions in the chat. Arby's. No, that has too much personality. It's not bland enough. No. Not a brand, like to something just, he's the face of, cotton, Fruit of the Loom, Fruit of the Loom, Hanes, oh man, Crocs, that's a good one, I like that. Actually, that would be dope. I would love a Croc sponsorship. Crocs are really cool. Home Depot. Bass Pro Shops. How about that? Flour. Quaker Oats, dude. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Kirkland Signature. Hold on. I would take that. I think I wear a Kirkland Signature in every single shirt and every single video I do. Lowe's. Napkins. Napkins in general. Vanilla extract. I love this. Thank you, guys. Yes. Grape nut cereal. Cheerios without the honey nut. Just regular Cheerios. Cardboard. How about cardboard? Plastic. What? How can plastic make your day better? Raisin Bran. Not alcoholic beer. Potatoes. Potatoes in general. Are you Irish? Brock, have you considered reaching out to I figured more than one company sells corn, right? How do all the corn companies come together and say, Brock, you're the face of us? We all agreed. All 800 of us were like, you know what? Brock's the one. Pocket protectors. All right, I'm done. I'm not that funny. I just think that people who are funny at Saturday Night Live should bring him on the show and just do a bunch of stupid commercials. I have actually, you know who would be better at hosting Saturday Night Live than Brock Purdy? Let's stick with this for a second. This is a great topic, and I'm super smart for thinking of this. Who would be best equipped to host Saturday Night Live on the Niners? Who would have the most like effortless humor? For sure not Kittle, he's effortful. Not Brock, because he's not funny. Although maybe in a couple years he would develop a dry sense of humor. But what about Colton McKivitz? Colton McKivitz was quietly the funniest part of that John Deere commercial with Brock. He carried the commercial. It was a Colton McKivitz ad. Surprisingly hilarious. And then if you saw his press conference the other day, you're like, oh yeah, this guy's a natural. So I would say Colton to host, because I think America wants to get to know. They want to see the Colton behind the Colton. I mean, everyone knows Colton McKivitz, but what's he really like when he's cutting loose? Colton. I used to talk like crap about Colton, like, oh, you know, he's not good enough, or like he should be a backup. But now that I see that he's the best Colton in the team, I'm like, nah, start Colton, man. He needs to be on front and center. Bring him out after every game. Colton. That's how I feel. Fred Warner is not funny. No. We don't want to see him host Saturday Night. No. Nick Bosa wouldn't. He'd have to be awake. Treverius Ward. Contender for sure. Christian McCaffrey. No. Kyle Juszczyk. Absolutely not. Debo. I don't think he could pull it off. Brandon. Of course not. No, it's either Treverius Ward or Colton McKivitz. That's it. Yeah. Or Jordan Mason. He was good yesterday. George Kittle. I want to see Colton McKivitz and George Kittle in a WWE event, because my money's on Colton. I don't care if it's scripted. Colton's finding a way to win that match. That's what I know. I'm a big Colton McKivitz fan. I change my opinions on players drastically just based on their personality. Like, oh, you're cool? You're good then. I got your back. You're a good quote. You're engaging. You don't hate me for all the stuff I've said? Get in your jersey. Last thing, and then I'm going to go. Did you guys catch Chris Forrester's interview yesterday? He was talking about how he hates perfectionists on the offensive line. This was so interesting. He was like, yeah, I can't stand perfectionists. Because all I hear when I hear perfectionists is, oh, he's going to go in the tank when he makes one mistake. So if I hear a guy coming out of the draft calls himself a perfectionist, I almost want to take him off the board immediately. He said that. It was like almost word for word. And I'm thinking, who is he talking about? Did anyone else think that? I mean, I know who I think he was talking about, but I'm watching the chat. Does anyone else, did this pop in your head? I know you guys are about 30 seconds behind me, so I'm going to give you a second. Perfectionist, randomly brought it up. Can't stand coaching them. Make one mistake, they go in the tank. Never want another one. Who is he talking about? Who gave him this awful experience? He said, I don't want to name any names. Haven't seen you guys name them yet. Come on, you guys don't know? Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Ashley. McGlinchey. Clearly McGlinchey. Perfectionist. One bad play, all of a sudden, he falls apart. You know what? I got to say, I always was hard on McGlinchey for that stuff. But now that I play golf, I want to take it all back, Mike. I'm just like you. I'm just like you, man. I don't know who I think I am on the golf course because I'm not good. But like sometimes I'll have like two or three good holes in a row and I'll be feeling myself. Like to start off the round, I'll be like, oh my God, I'm like even after three. And then I'll have one bad shot and I'll be bad. I'll be like terrible for an hour and a half. Just because I'm a perfectionist and I should be shooting even par, bro, because I've been practicing like every day. So Mike, dude, I'm just like you. And they not like us, the perfectionists out there that are really your own worst enemy. Please remind PP what BP said about practice picks, says Brother Bob. Oh, I will. Isaiah Hunkin says, BA a diva, but he's RX Purdy's guy who beats man without BA. I agree, man. It ain't going to be Ricky. Honestly, it's Juwan Jennings. That guy is so good. I feel like, can we just talk about Juwan before we go, before I leave? He is so good. I didn't really begin to appreciate his game until like the playoffs. He was so clutch, and then he was terrific in the Super Bowl. And I think he's carried it over to this offseason. He's never really been a big practice player, but you can see it. He's in phenomenal shape. He never gets hurt. He is a really good route runner. Like in the one-on-one drills, like a variety of routes, double moves. He's not fast, but like neither is Keenan Allen, right? Like Keenan Allen has been really regarded as a top 100 player in the NFL for like 10 years. He runs a 4.7. So Jennings runs a 4.7. So what? I think he's got to be one of the more underrated players in the team. People be like, well, he's like, yeah, he's a good number three. Like, no, he's a great number three. I think he'd be a solid number two. I guess we'll find out if they trade BA because it ain't going to be Ricky as the number two. Ronnie Bell. I want to talk about Ronnie Bell for a second. Ronnie Bell is damn good. I think Ronnie Bell, he's got a year on Ricky, but I think he's better than Ricky right now. I think he's stronger than Ricky. I think he's at least as fast as Ricky. I think he's tougher than Ricky. I think he's better than Ricky. Ronnie Bell. That's all I really had to say about that. But I think hell of a player. Is he Brandon Ayuk? No. Here's the thing. If you're trading Brandon Ayuk, you got to get back Amari Cooper or someone like that because Brandon really is that good. I remember when Brandon first started practicing as a rookie, like Debo, Ricky Pearsall, guys who were worked in slowly, pretty much played all of training camp with the backups. You would get some reps with the starters, but not a lot, not a ton of catches. Ayuk was playing with the starters from day one in camp and winning. Now, this was like 2020 when the corners were like, what, Emmanuel Mosley and Jason Verrett. Jason Verrett was pretty freaking good. But he was producing and winning immediately as a rookie in camp with the starters, against the starters. That's Brandon. So the Niners can say, like, he's not quite or this or that, but Pearsall ain't that. Neither is Ronnie Bell. Brother Bob says, can you do a post-game show from this location with me? They're going to clear you out of here after about an hour. I don't think, by the time I actually do my post-game show, I think everyone has been escorted out and you need a credential to be here. But if you find a way, when I used to, I do my post games like up here, right, like directly above in the second level. Last year, by the end of the season last year, there were people waiting for me. I figured this is where you do it. I was like, hey, man. Security. Beto Sosa, $2. Thank you. Smacker 44 says, we need to extend Lenore now. He is a star. Yeah. I don't know. He's really good. He is good. He's just a little bit smaller. And sometimes he kind of just gets mossed, you know? Like, he never gets whooped. He never gives up separation. He's always right there in great, like, he always has great coverage. It's just that he's 5'10. So even when his coverage is great, sometimes he's going to get beat, which is why you want your corners to be 6 feet and 6'1, ideally. But for a 5'10 corner, he's as good as it gets, or top tier, one of the best. All right. I think that's enough. We got a lot of people watching, 5,700. Holy damn. Thank you very much, everyone, for being here. Please like the stream, subscribe to the channel, download the Sleeper app, DM me so I can send you money. All of that stuff. Because this is the only channel that just gives you money. The only channel that I know of that just is like, oh, here's money. Here's money from my pocket. And it's only out of kindness of my heart. So my only reason for doing it too, just generosity and kindness. I don't have any type of ulterior motive at all. Just that kind of guy. Yeah. So thanks for watching. Do you think Ayuk's going to be on this team this time tomorrow, or is this going to keep dragging out? I think Ayuk just likes the attention. He's like, all right, man, I'll go to Cleveland, but I want to watch practice for a couple more weeks. No, I don't know what's going on. Don't know, but I love it. And I really hope no practice tomorrow, but day after there is. And I really hope he's there. See you guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.